Hello, it is Sunday, February 10th, 2019, and this is episode 155 of Rums Over Baghdad. Thoughton is unfortunately out. He's having technical difficulties. With us today is Mary.
Hi, my internet works, so here I am.
Sean is joining us from the anime podcast. How you doing?
Hey, what's hi, that's me.
DJ's also here. How's it going?
The anime ambassador.
You guys are crazy. So, how's everything going? Everybody doing all right? Week's going well? Have any cool shit to share? Or
I'm eating a Mr. Chew.
What is that?
Excuse me? What is that?
It's not as racist as you think. It's a British sweet. Hold on, I've got the wrapper.
I think it's
made by Swizzles. I think that's
what?
Swizzle stars. Mm-hmm.
Swizzles.
Pizza whistles.
The best thing about PAX East was you giving us all that British candy. That was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I don't think this was in that pack.
No.
But it is British.
Oh.
And chewy.
Mr. Chewy.
I'm sucking on Mr. Chew.
Oh, it looks like a big Starburst or something.
I don't know, yeah. Cheap, big Starburst. It's good. Sugary. How's everyone's 2 weeks been?
We skipped. Shit, we skipped last week. Totally forgot. Maybe we got some cool shit to talk about before video games. Anybody? Maybe?
I watched cats play around in a fake football field instead of actual mm-hmm. football. That was pretty cool.
I watched the kitten bowl and
cat bowl. Yeah, the puppy bowl. You saw? I don't get Animal Planet on my streaming stuff, so no puppy bowl for me. But that's okay.
It's cat sauce.
To be fair, I think the purple bowl was pretty boring. Actually, it's like it's pretty.
Yeah,
it's very played out at this point. They don't do anything new. It's just the same stuff.
They've totally like over commercialized the puppy bowl too. Like,
wait, are you saying
they're like, here's this?
Are you saying that there was like a period of time where it was improving, like they were doing something like new each time, and then like it just got plateaued? Yeah. Okay, because I had no idea.
Yeah,
it's like half product placement now, which is kind of annoying. At least with like the kitten and the cat bowl, they were plugging like rescue organizations, like adopt a pet type stuff, or like here's this cat that's blind in one eye, adopt a special needs cat, blah blah blah.
They still do that in the puppy bowl. Like there was a three-legged dog and there was like a Puerto Rican like bio thing, because they every like quarter they did a bio on a dog and like, hey, look at this dog, it came from Puerto Rico and this lady has an adoption farm where like she doesn't turn down a single dog away. So you saw this farm with like 1,000 fucking dogs that looked just fucking running everywhere.
It's a little insane.
Cool. It was very insane. They had like drainage troughs and they're like just guys with giant bags of food just feeding all these giant bugs. How long was the kitten bowl? The puppy bowl was 2 hours, and that's insane.
The kitten bowl was 2 hours, and the cat bowl was 1 hour. So
wait, that was 3 hours.
Yes, there were two separate ones. They had one for kittens.
There was a little league. There was a little league cat soccer.
yeah,
or cat football.
Yeah, like, well, actually, it was weird because the adult cats were like the, here you go, here's some extra. Like, the main event was the kitten bowl, which I guess makes sense because kittens are more hyper and they run around and shit. So, yeah.
The cat bowl
had a lot of them sleeping.
I can see that.
Yeah, it's the senior bowl.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the all-star game. So
it's the show match, yeah.
But yeah, that was fun. I did that and ate garbage. So it was basically Super Bowl, except without the bad football part. And apparently it was bad, yeah.
How much would you watch of the football optics, DJ?
The first quarter at most.
Yeah.
And then I went, I'm sleeping.
It was pretty awful, yeah. Well, you It was a defensive game, but
did you watch all of it?
I watched like at least three quarters, I think.
Yeah, it even on paper it looked like garbage. Like 6 points in like 2 hours of the game or some shit like that is insane.
Yeah, it just wasn't good football. So, and with that terrible halftime, I guess it's terrible.
I didn't watch that.
Most people thought it was just boring, which I think is even worse because it's less interesting than a terrible halftime. It's just ruined five, which whoopee do. It's fucking boring.
Small music.
I hear they did SpongeBob Dirty as well.
Yeah, they did. Real bad.
They, like, cut to the bit that people wanted to see and then, like, said, no, fuck you, have this rapper man instead who has some shoes. But, yeah, it seemed awful.
I didn't watch any of it, so whatever.
I read about it afterwards. As you do. What else did you do? Pop up?
Nothing much. Video games, weirdly enough.
What video games did you play?
So let me tell you about a video game called Wargroove. But it's still one of Mary's games. I don't have many.
Sure.
I mean, you guys can. Yeah. You're not stealing. Yeah. If you guys, yeah, go for it. I think his internet is having issues here.
You're frozen.
This is gonna be fun when it disconnects.
He's meditating.
Mm-hmm.
He's meditating on his thoughts on Wargroove.
I actually I went to a friend's birthday party the weekend before this at Easy Tiger, which is like it's like a beer garden place here. They got German food and beer and stuff. And we were all talking about, oh, Wargroove is coming out, blah, blah, blah. Everybody was super excited for it, which was weird because, I don't know, that group of friends doesn't really talk about video games that much. And I was very surprised that was actually a thing. I'm just trying to fill time before podcast comes back.
Yeah, I have the three arrangement thing now.
Okay, good. Okay. I was going to say, is that going to freak you out? No.
No, but the nameplate was wrong for Mary.
Mm-hmm. It should be good.
But we're back to the four now. I'm on top of it.
But yeah, everybody wanted to get it when it came out that Friday. I was like, did you know that there is a make your own campaign mode in the game? Blah, 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 blah. Like I was trying to sell it or something, which was dumb, but I don't know.
So
when a game isn't out yet, that's all you can talk about.
What is Wargroove?
It's a strategy RPG that is very similar to Advance Wars. It's out on PC and Switch. Okay. It's supposed to come out on PS4, but it's not out yet. It's also hard as hell. Like, that's the main thing that I've learned about this game, is that the computer doesn't make mistakes. And while you are still learning the systems of the game, if you fuck up more than once, really, you need to start over the whole, like, map that you are on. And
that sucks.
Yeah, you can mess with difficulty settings, like turning up the amount of money you get per turn, messing with the enemy health, stuff like that. But I haven't really messed around with it that much because I've been busy with other games. I'll probably get back to it this week, but I've been playing a lot of Landgrisser Mobile instead because it's way simpler.
Same concept, though.
Yeah, it's a strategy RPG as well. There are a lot of different mechanics compared to Wargroove, though. In Landgrisser, it's more Fire Emblem style, where you have enemy units that level up and progress. In Wargroove, it's almost more like chess, where there are set pieces with set rules. Like, you aren't... there's no way for you to, like, grind, per se, to, like, make your enemy, or I'm sorry, your army better, per se.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm distracted. It's hard to talk properly when I just see pop cans trying to come back in and out. I feel bad for him. But yeah, it's that also makes it more difficult and more puzzle-like in Wargroove as opposed to, I guess, Landgrisser, which is more of a straight strategy RPG. But yeah, I don't know. I want to hear Popcans talk about it. I feel bad now.
We might not. Yeah. We can move on. We can move on, and when he comes back, we can loop back around. Oh.
Is Wargroove... Does it have a Fire Emblem type thing of if you someone dies, they're gone forever?
Yes and no. You don't really train. You hire units. You have like a set amount of gold, and you earn more gold each turn by taking over villages. And then you use that gold to purchase different enemy unit types. There are a lot of different enemy units. There's actually vehicles as well that can attack or just carry over your enemy troops, like long distances on the map. So it's a very different kind of game. Like if anybody's played Advance Wars, that's definitely the closest thing to compare it to. Because they've said in several interviews, like, yeah, we're inspired by Advance Wars.
Inspired by? Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. It's not like they're making a new Advance Wars game anytime soon.
I mean, but I'm guessing the art style is pretty similar too, right?
Yeah, it's fairly similar. It's less anime just because, I guess, Chucklefish isn't as anime.
Oh, right.
Even
okay.
though it
yeah.
totally... It totally has an anime opening movie, so that's kind of cool. And it actually has a character crossover from Starbound, which is the other game they developed themselves, not just published.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the Floren race, the plant people are in the game as
that's
like
cool.
a... Yeah, and the specific character, the specific Floren Nuru from Starbound is actually a commander in this game too. Yeah, it's very difficult. Should we restart the call or something? Since apparently he can't join in. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I'm all confused.
Well,
it live.
We can use this snazzy new intermission screen I just made like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We will be back.
Cool.
We will be back in a moment. All right, we're back. We fixed it.
Weren't able to hear what I talked about with it, but I'll just chime in and say, like, yeah, totally, or whatever.
I know apparently you haven't played much. And
not a ton, because it gets fucking hard. Like, one of the things that I said when you're messing with the call status is that it seems like the CPU doesn't fuck up ever, and it totally takes advantage of you fucking up, so you can't really mess up on your turn or enemy placements or anything like that, or just even spending your money unwisely. I don't know. You're better at strategy RPGs than me, though, so what do you think?
Well, it's definitely hard. I think everybody's been saying that, even reviews. I don't necessarily think it's hard. I think it can be, it's just punishing at times. Especially with the commander, where if your commander dies, that's a hard, lose. And 100% of the time when I lose, it's because my commander dies. So, it's just a thing where, the main thing you need, and everybody needs to learn is that, just that, you can't use your commander as a soldier, because if they get ganged up, they would die and you lose. So, the main problem with that I've been having is not using my commander so much, because you need to have them in the background or else they will die.
And it sucks too, because the commander is so much more powerful than like your hired out units, so you're tempted to want to use them. And you do have to kill enemy units in order to build up their groove meter, which grants the commander like special abilities on the battlefield. Like one will actually
I just picture
put
your
down
commander
the
just
area.
Like running out there and just bust a move, the groove meter.
Yeah.
Yes.
Basically. And it's just like this aura just goes out like just AOE effect.
That's kind of what happens. In Advance Wars, your commander isn't actually a unit on the battlefield. You are just like a faceless, like, dude moving around your hired units. And eventually you will get a boost power that does something similar to the grooves in Wargroove, but just having the commander on the field, it does make it a lot more difficult.
Yeah. The main thing I wish they would do is not have you lose the battle if your commander dies. Just maybe have them gone or respawn like 3 turns later. I think that would make it a lot better for sure. But otherwise, yeah, I'm enjoying it. Again, it's I don't want to call it hard, because if my commander doesn't die, it's fairly easy, actually. Because if you're able to just get a good foothold and just start swarming out units, it's like Advance Wars. It's Advance Wars. If you start getting a bunch of units out of the field, you will win. Because the enemy AI is not great at making units sometimes. So they'll make a bunch of high-tier units, but once you are able to start taking out the units, and also just take out a little bit of their bases, they aren't pumping out as many units as you are usually.
I think my main issue is that I just get greedy and impatient, and I kind of rush across the map a little too quickly, and then my units end up being dead, and it's not really worth it to heal units using the village HP and stuff like that, because I mean, then your villages get more easily taken over, and then you don't get the money to make more units and blah, blah, blah. It's like, sometimes maybe I just do something really dumb, and then I'll just keep going for like 5-6 more turns. And then I'm like, and then I decide like, oh, I fucked myself over. I need to start over. But then a map takes like about an hour to finish sometimes. So I think that's the issue, is that, I don't know, when you're fucking up, it really sucks.
For sure. And yeah, it's, I know one of the main complaints is there's no checkpoints. So if you lose, you have to start over from the beginning. And like you said, some of the maps are pretty big. Sucks. And I think another big thing I don't particularly like is there's no specific like rock, paper, scissors counter like in the Fire Emblem games or something like that. So there are some units that counter other units, but no unit counters every other unit. So it usually means you don't always know what to build. And usually I just kind of like do a little bit of everything. But that also makes it hard to know like what I did wrong if I do lose. Other than knowing I need to retreat my commander more.
And you can, like, button over the enemy units and see what they're vulnerable to, but a lot of those icons are kind of hard to decipher.
Yes.
Like, yeah, I see the little horsey head means the knight, but I don't know what the fuck this other icon is. Like, they need, I don't know, to let you maybe mouse over. Well, not, like, mouse if you're using the Switch, but you know what I mean? Like, but select those portraits and put in text like what exactly they are would be nice.
My complaint really is I'm actually not really a big fan of Advance Wars, actually. It's like late game of any map is just you having like 30 units. So then every turn is just you having to move 30 units. That gets very tedious. Like not too long. And also, the tone, really, in the story. Like, the tone in these stories in, like, Advance Wars and Wargroove is kind of just, like, jokingly. And it's like, oh, I'll battle you. And it's like, it's weird. It's like, yeah, I'll battle you, and we don't need a battle.
It's like Pokemon or something.
Yeah, but the Pokemon are actually, like, a bunch of, like, units and people.
That die.
Yeah, it doesn't have, like, that gravity of what you're
it's totally weird too, because the beginning of the story starts with the main character her dad being assassinated, so you would think it would be like serious, like a Fire Emblem kind of is at times, but no, it's just like we're on an adventure to take back the kingdom, and it's, I don't know, it's just kind of weightless so far. I do want to mess with the player created campaigns though later on, because I think that'll be really cool. And they actually made the campaign for the game using that campaign editor that they put out in the game. So you can obviously do some complicated stuff with that. So that ought to be neat.
It's very cool. Yeah. They have a whole thing where people can make their own maps, but they also can make their own campaigns, which is them making maps and then chaining them together. And then they can also make cutscenes.
Story cutscenes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very neat, and like people are doing really cool stuff with it. Like there's one campaign which is pretty much just that has the two two rivalries in the campaign, like having to pair up because they're stranded on an island together. And it's very cute, and like it's cool, and like it's a campaign and with mini maps to it, or not, I don't know. Sure, mini. But you also can do that, and also just maps, just standalone like multiplayer map. Because the game does have an online multiplayer, so you can make like 2-player maps or even like 4-player maps. It's very elaborate, and I think the curated system is not great trying to look for maps, but it's not the worst. And also they have other modes where they have a puzzle mode, which is like they give you a map and you have to complete it in turn. So and there's always like one solution, so you have to find out the solution. It's very different, but it's very cool. And they also have an arcade mode, which is you pick a commander and you have 5 maps and you have to complete the 5 maps.
Yeah, it's like an arcade mode in like a fighting game or something. You like go through all the different commanders of like the different factions, one after the other. That's kind of neat. And that also has a settable like difficulty. Like I was playing it on easy last night because I had been drinking a bunch and I was like, I'm not going to be good at this game right now. Fuck it. I'm going to play something easy. And it was pretty fun. It was still challenging for Drunk Mary. So it's good.
Yeah. It's a very good package.
Especially for only $20. Like if Nintendo had brought out this game, it would be $60 or $50 maybe. But yeah.
I think the main campaign is a little too short compared to like a probably Advanced Wars game. But otherwise it's very parable. Yeah. And I think it's very good. I do want to say it's very good. It's just I think me and Mary has some very few nitpicks that are very big. But otherwise, I like it.
Yeah, I'm going to play it some more. I might play it with my friends to try that multiplayer thing out since they were all super excited to play it, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I'll force them to play it with me.
Yeah, they're adding, like... And, oh, sorry, one quickie. Quickly, they're committed to adding a bunch of like stuff to the game because apparently they made their sales made up the cost of the game within like 3 days, and they're already committing to a bunch of things, patching a bunch of things in. Like one of the things I was most looking forward to is they're adding being able to add AI to multiplayer games. So like if you have 2 people, so you're playing a 2v2 map, you can have you and your friend play against AIs. So and a bunch of things like that they're adding in.
All right. So what else? Did you play anything else, Popcans, or was that all you wanted to talk about?
Sorry, my mouth is getting dry. I can talk about Apex, because I've also been playing much of Apex.
Yeah, everybody's been playing that.
Not me. Fuck a battle royale. No, thank you.
Yeah, I don't.
I uninstalled it.
I haven't even installed it. I don't really care. Not saying it looks bad. It looks really fun, but I just don't care.
It looks like a battle royale game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and no wall running and no titans. I know it's lame to say that, like it's not Titanfall, but I just want to play Titanfall. I guess not battle royale.
a good game. It's a very good game. Super fun. I think I'm going to continue playing a whole lot of it. Mostly because I haven't played a Battle Royale in a while. And it's itching the need to play it without setting aside like 2 hours at a time that PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds usually requires. This game you can set aside 15 minutes and you'll get at least one game in. At least one pretty decent game in through that time period.
How many matches have you played?
I have no clue. I'm like level 17 or 18 though, if that helps. So I've played a hell of a lot. Well, a lot, not a hell of a lot. I am playing it like daily though, if that helps. It's very fun in the sense of they don't like force shit on you on like, hey, every time you end a game, here's how you buy shit or stuff like that. Like everything's hidden in the store and the only time they like force you is if you actually click through into the store or like Overwatch, you go to the hero gallery equivalent and you see all the skins that you can get. I like the weapon skins that they've got going on. Some of them look really cool. I unlocked a legendary one, which is really cool. There's a dragon, blue dragon one in the store, which I'm saving up free monies for, which I'm going to get once I get it, once I have enough free monies. And the whole system works like Heroes of the Storm does, but better in the sense that they're aiming to avoid duplicates. So you can drop X amount of three different things. Every 30 boxes, you're guaranteed a legendary at some point in those 30 boxes.
That's nice, at least.
And you get a box every time you level up, like in Overwatch. And also, sometimes you might drop stuff like crafting material, where if you get enough crafting material, you'll be able to unlock a skin or craft a skin or something like that. And then also every time you level up, you gain a currency, a free currency, not a paid for currency. And once you get like X amount of that, you can unlock legends, which are characters or skins, for guns and stuff like that in the store. So yeah, it's very much the HOTS type of thing, but no real duplicates unless you're playing this thing like 20 hours a day.
Cool.
Okay. Let's. Quickly, this is talking about the mechanic, the microtransactions, somewhat boring, but I will say I think they do a great job of having locked characters that you need to buy, but not making people upset about it. Because people hardly talk about how there's characters that you need to buy, but people are not upset about it at all. It helps that you can buy with some sort of in-game currency. So it's actually not that hard to get. I think people are saying like if you play like 5 hours you can unlock a character, and there's also only two characters that are locked out of the eight.
For now, they have like a season schedule thing where I think in like 2 weeks or so they're gonna bring out a new season and like I think a new character's coming with that. I think in general they want to try and do a new character each season. So I think that unlockability is going to grow and whatnot, just like Heroes of the Storm. They got to try and coerce people to make get money somehow. Popcans was saying, all the characters that are unlocked at the start are like the good ones. The two that are there are still niche.
But yeah, I think the game itself is pretty fun. You know, it's definitely Battle Royale where you need to drop and pick up loot. But I think the difference is like unlike a PUBG or like a Fortnite, I think it's what the best playing one of those for sure. Just like the movement and the ability uses, I think it makes it like fun no matter what. I'm so terrible for sure. But I'm having a lot of fun for sure. Just moving around and trying to be helpful.
Yeah. The Overwatch abilities on each characters into this sort of battle royale type game is very, very great at keeping me interested in this game on like and having repeatable play, because by and large, we're still dropping in the same rough areas that we always are. But the fact that the loot changes, like going to the bunker every single game is not guaranteed high tier, mid tier loot. It changes every single game. So no one's like always going to the school or something like that for guaranteed good loot.
Well, there is a spaceship thing.
That's the spaceship thing which floats across the screen, and the hot zone where at the start of the drop there's a circle called the hot zone, and that has high tier loot. Both of those have high tier loot. Those are the only two you can guarantee. What else is there?
I would say I'm not a big fan of the abilities, mostly because I don't get much use out of them usually. Like, I don't know. I don't like, I'm playing the guy who can see people's traction and whatnot, but most of the time I don't really get any use out of it.
That's good. And so like you're in squads of three and it's very useful to like pair up players. So I like playing a character called Bangalore, and her quick loading ability is she can put out a smoke grenade, and the smoke's real thick. Like you have to like enter in that smoke to like even see some things. So if you pair that with the Bloodhound guy that Pop was mentioning to like see stuff in a radius, you can totally see them through that smoke, and then like that shows with your whole team, so your whole team sees where they are and can just start shooting them through that smoke. So there's a lot of good like compatibility. But as far as I can tell, every team has to have a lifeline because she is just so OP on having like a free heal every 20 or so seconds for the squad. She uses med kits quicker than everyone else. And also when she revives players, she gets like a free shield blocking her doing that. Like she's very OP compared to every single other character.
And yeah, I'm usually just not good when to use my ult. I also play the guy with the shield, and I hardly ever use his ult, which is just an airstrike.
Yeah, like a lot of the ults like need fine tuning. The Bangalore thing is also an airstrike, but it's like a delayed explosion. So like, you see all these missiles come down, and they do a little bit of damage if they hit near you, but they don't explode. So it just creates like a giant minefield, and people either have to like run the fuck away out of that minefield or get exploded on. It's an interesting concept. That's more like area denial than like pure damage. A lot of these ults aren't like purely designed for killing people. It's to like assist you in movement or area denial or zone engagement and stuff like that. It's interesting.
So how's the shooting? Like, feel tight? I know that the movement I've heard is really good.
It's very good. There's still bullet drop, so that's still okay. Like present and stuff. It's not hit scan, it's not like McCree and Overwatch. There's like time for a bullet to reach to a certain person.
Yeah.
What they do nice with most other games don't do is a lot of the higher tier scopes that if you pick them up, they not only have like distance to where you're looking at, where the reticle is, like it'll show you like 300 meters and stuff. Underneath the little tick levels also have like numbers and correlation to that. So it's like 2, 3, 4. So you know how far up you need to shoot.
Oh, okay.
Just by default. So it's like an inbuilt range finder. And I find that extremely useful and nice.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah. There's a ton of quality of life features in this game that make it just vastly better than most other games, I think.
Yeah,
Battle Royale wise.
I was gonna ask, how's the solo queue? Because I heard that ping system is pretty cool.
It's fine, yeah. So like you can use middle mouse to just generally quickly ping, and based on what you ping, it'll like reference like, oh yeah, I'm the Bloodhound guy and I can see that there were shell casings here 30 seconds ago. I ping it and it tells people that, or
oh,
I see
cool.
An open crate in the distance and I ping it and the guy voice lines, hey, this has been an open crate. We didn't open it. People were here. It's very smart context sensitive pinging. If you're in a three squad, you can just like press F, which is the alternate, saying like enemies, but like that's always going to be like an enemy target. So
right.
Most people in like a 3 squad with us just use the F button because it's quicker than middle mousing and shit. And like we just audibly tell them like, yo, we should go here, and then press F, and like, yeah, we use it as a general reticle. If you hold down middle mouse, you can have your own context.
Does it bring like a wheel come up or something?
Yeah, comes up to like say, yeah, that's what you want to do. But in general, if you just click open space, it's like, let's go here. And a lot of the character voice lines are smart in that sense of like just little things that help you in the game of like, you may not be paying attention to the circle, but the guy might just go, yo, the circle's coming in 30 seconds. We need to be moving. And then you look and you go, oh yeah. Oh shit. We gotta go.
That actually sounds really convenient, because part of the reason I uninstalled it right away was because it was like groups of 3 only, and I didn't want to fuck around with voice chat. So
that's why they made the system. Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense. So maybe I'll reinstall it after I uninstall Division 2 beta. So
my next question.
I need room.
I played some of that. I'll talk about it later. I heard the time to kill is pretty low, like not like Rainbow Six low, but like low to where it's, I don't know, where you don't have to hit someone a million PUBG. Fucking times.
It all depends. It's not PUBG. If you're good, like our friend Midjay, it's very, very, very low. If you're bad, like me
what did you call him?
It's going to be pretty high. Midjay, is it midget?
Yes, midjet. No, wow. midget.
But there's a J in there. It's a silent T. That's what I was going for. I don't know.
He's
like French Canadian.
He is Canadian, but he's not. He's not French Canadian though.
Well, I assumed. So my French Canadian friend there is very good. So he'll land a couple headshots and like destroy people very quickly. But one of the issues I have with the game, because I'm very, very bad at it, is within like a minute and a half, almost everyone's probably going to have armor and like pretty decent armor. So you have to hit you through that first, and then you have to start hitting them directly. I think headshots, like unless you have a helmet and then they do headshots, that's like direct damage, but anything else is shield damage first, let's say. And people eventually, like even within 10 minutes, will probably have blue or purple or better armor at that point. So you have to do a couple hits in. It's not PUBG where like 4 or so hits and you're done. And you're down, but yeah, it can be real savage if people are good. It can be a nightmare if you're bad.
Yeah, if anything, I hear the time to kill is too high.
Yeah.
No, I think it's fine where it's at.
I think it's fine where it's at as well. Yeah, a lot of the time, again, I'm using the Bangalore lady with the smoke. So what I do is I like to hide in a room, smoke the shit out of it, and use this giant shotgun, automatic shotgun, just fucking blast fools. It's very satisfying at times. So yeah, it's all dependent on how you play. I'm trying to go away from shotguns and start using snipers, but like even sniping in that game is extremely hard, because again, if you're not landing headshots, you're doing 30 damage out of like 150 each hit.
Right.
So unless you have that like mega Kraber sniper rifle, bad.
Are there like, I want to use the term DMR, but people don't know what that is. Like semi-auto rifles that aren't like super scoped in, but they have some magnification on them.
Yeah. So optics
like
are
semi-autos,
pickups as
not,
well.
not like bolt action, not like boom, you have to wait. Boom.
Yeah. Yeah. Most of these are semi-autos anyway.
Oh, okay, cool.
Sniper rifles, yeah. I don't know about that Kraber, which is like one of the rarest sniper rifles. I think it's a 50 cal. I assume it's bolt action. I think there's like one other bolt action I'm forgetting.
I mean, I'm sure the concept of bolt action doesn't exist in the future, but... like a recharge, yeah. Right between each shot, basically.
Most of them are,
or a cooldown rather.
Anyway, like the one you're gonna find very often, G7 Scout is a semi. And again, you can put whatever optics you want on quite a few of these snipers. Like they can go 1x, 1-2, 2-4. There's a 6x and there's a 4-8 type scope. So you can, there's variation on what you want to put on them. And again, all the loot add-ons are like tiered as well. You can get purple stuff. You can get blue stuff, which allows you for better extended mags. Yeah. I like the game a lot. It's very fun to like loot around and then go somewhere. The movement's quick enough where it's like you're really hauling ass to a different location as well, where you don't need vehicles or anything. And then there's a guy, the robot man. His ultimate is he can just create a zip line to wherever else you want to go, which is very fun. And you can go up the zip lines as well. So if you want to get some elevation, you can. Yeah, it's very fun. I'm enjoying it. I'm going to continue enjoying it. It's eaten all my Overwatch time. So I've got like 6 wins left for loot boxes.
So for the context sensitive ping, I've always thought that was a really cool thing. Like there have been versions of it in prior games that aren't nearly as fleshed out as what you're describing, but there was things in like Battlefield probably still does it. Like if you come up to somebody who has like whoever's the guy who gives down health packs or whatever, and you walk up to him and you just click spot, it goes, "Hey, I need a health pack." Or if you have one and there's people and you ping them and it says, "Yo, I got health here." Like I always thought that was really good. Just even like that super basic shit, because like even if when people aren't using their voice comms, you're still helping each other out,
giving them some info.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like you can ping weapons and items on the ground. Like, hey, there's a scope here. Don't know if you want it. Here's a grenade here. Don't know if you want it, but like it's a nice way to like say, I don't know, here's some heavy ammo. Or like if someone shouts in the chat like, hey, I'm low on heavy ammo, and you just run through some, you can just ping it and then fuck off because it's going to stay on the map until someone picks it up or you cancel it or something like that.
Yeah, like you can do that in Vermintide too. So whenever I play it, I'm like, here's some health. Here you go. It's very.
There's a very basic ping system in Siege as well, which can be really helpful when you're new. And it helps you.
Yeah,
you can still kind of do like, hey, he's over here, call outs, but you ping and it makes a sound. So if somebody is able to like to stop holding an angle and look around for the ping, they'll see where you're talking about. Albeit through maybe a floor or two and like a couple walls, but
yeah,
better than nothing.
I think they needed to do squads only because of the abilities. Because some abilities for some characters. Yes. Are only good for, like with other people, so they obviously needed to make it squads only, but I think they did a great job rewarding people playing by themselves with like the fact that there's the adaptive ping system, and also whenever you jump out of the plane, you jump as one group and one person controlling everybody, and things like that where it makes it so you're not punished for being solo.
Sure,
I think they make it. You know, rewarding to play even by yourself.
I'm just afraid of fucking up.
Yeah, I don't want to ruin everybody's game. Like when we were playing the Division 2 in the Dark Zone and we got murdered. I'm sorry, BJ.
No, it's
fine.
It's interesting because even if you're playing in the game and you get downed or something, you can still use the ping system. So you're crawling around with like your timer on, but you can like be a roaming drone essentially, unless they kill you.
That's kind of cool.
So like you can see where they're at and go like, oh, he's around this rock. Oh, he's turned left. If your guy's like inside a house, like trying to look for them. So you're still there. And then they have like a banner system where if they pick up your banner, they can revive you. Granted, you have nothing when you land again. But you have to find your box. But there's a way to get back in the game. And like, again, at the start, I would suggest just sticking with shotguns. And
Shotguns are my jam in FPS games if they're good. Like if they're real shotguns, like the spread isn't like fucking insane. Like if they behave like
it's not
real. Yeah. If they behave like real shotguns, then those are my jam in first person shooters.
Yeah, they kind of default. A lot of them have some form of choke. There's one which has a unique pickup of having like a further choke, which just amplifies the damage on it. But I think
it just makes the cone tighter. Okay, cool.
Tighter. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in general, it's not like just giant buck wild buckshot or something.
Yeah,
like that.
The crosshair you get when you pick it up isn't like a fucking pancake in the middle of your screen. It's like, oh great, yeah, this is gonna square, do fuck all when I try to shoot someone.
It's a square, but a tight enough square that if you miss them, you're like to the side or something. Like
you might still wing
gonna
them.
Gonna do zero damage.
Oh okay. Oh,
it's gonna do about zero damage.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That's my type of shotgun.
You kind of need to be on them.
Yep. Okay.
But it's a much bigger crosshair than an AR or LMG. So yeah, start off with those and then work your way to the sniper rifles if you're good at it.
What would you?
But a lot of it is position and stuff.
Oh, sure. What would you suggest for like, say I'm gonna go play this after this? Like, which class should I pick as a beginner class just to kind of get
any? Just play all the
just
characters.
Pick one.
It doesn't matter. They don't change in health. All their speed is the same. Like, just play any character you want, essentially.
Right, and it's a battle royale, so it's just whatever guns you pick up. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's just best to learn whatever. I'd say avoid Wraith, maybe, because Wraith is, like, some weird portal lady, or, like, she can
go invisible
for a certain period.
I was also kind of asking, sort of, like, how simple is their gadget or
right.
whatever. Like, then, like in Siege, like, for example, Rook is a great fucking pick for newbies because the instant the round starts, you put your armor plates down, boom, you have helped your team. And now you can just sit on the site and fucking just pop heads as people come into the room.
Like, lifeline, but everyone's going to take lifeline because she just heals and she's useful. The robot man has a zipline, which is useful.
You can play as one of the robot dudes?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, like one of those NPCs in Titanfall.
Yes! Yes! Titanfall figured it out.
He has the grappling hook from the multiplayer in Titanfall too, right? Yeah.
I was sick of games that had fucking dope ass Android designs and then not letting you play as them. Destiny, I'm looking at you. Like the merchants and stuff in the hub areas. Some of the best robot design I've seen in games. And I'm like, I want to fucking play as this dude. He looks awesome. But no. But that may have just sold me right there because the Titanfall robot design is pretty fucking cool too. Any other thoughts on Apex from you guys? You may have sold me on it, so I might go hop on after this.
Yeah, a lot of us and friends of the show are playing it, so you'll probably easily get into a 3-squad. And even then, 2-squad's fine because generally the other person stays with you because it's in their best interest to stay with you or else they get like stuck with against 3 people just ripping them. So yeah, it's usually fine. That's all I got. I'm going to keep playing it a lot more.
Cool. I might do that. I might play that tonight in lieu of doing another workshop stream because fuck, my legs are sore from standing up, even on those soft pads. I'll talk about the stream stuff later. Let's see. Sean, you got anything else, man?
Oh, sure. So, have you heard of these things called cell phones?
They look like this, right?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay. And for whatever reason, they have phones on these cell phones. And I've been playing one of these phones.
They used to be kind of tiny, like.
Used to be, and then they used to like you have to flip them open, but no more. Now it's just one touchscreen.
Samsung makes a flip phone, Android phone in Korea, South Korea. It's kind of ridiculous. Sorry for the tangent.
Yes.
Just wanted. It looks cool. Please continue. Sorry.
So the game I've been playing is the like grassier mobile game. I'm saying that right, Mary?
Longrisser? I don't know. It's very like fake German. Yeah, it's very crowdy. All of the characters have very German names. I can say that because I'm married to one. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know why you didn't need to add that on there. I mean, if it sounds German, I don't say that's. I wouldn't say that's an offensive statement.
Guy's name. Diharta or something, or I don't know how you say it, but yeah, look at his spiky hair.
But yes, so this is a phone game based off of a very old SRPG, strategy RPG series, mostly in Japan. And it's really good. I don't know. It's one of those free play games. So you have your multiple currencies or stamina meteors. But it's a pretty good one of those because there's also a lot of boobs, so
yeah, like, there's also that. The character designs originally for the Landgrisser series, like on the Sega Genesis and stuff, are by Satoshi Urushihara. Like I have an art book of his, and about 50% of it is naked ladies, so yeah,
that sounds good.
So, but being based off of a SRPG series, this try to incorporate that, but obviously in a much smaller format, for the phone game. So, basically what I've been saying is, it's like the Fire Emblem phone game, but good.
Yeah. The maps are much more complicated, and so are all of the characters and their skills. There's a lot more strategery.
Yeah, because the thing the Fire Emblem game tried to do was keep it within like a 6x6 square board thing. But what usually happened was there wasn't really any strategy. It was just like if you know what to do, you can do it pretty easily. And I think the game itself there wasn't a ton to do. But this game there's way too much to do. Like
yeah.
I probably put 30 hours in this game. They're still unlocking stuff and putting more stuff in. It's bonkers how much stuff is in this game. Where, like, there's many, like, systems to it. And like, they have a bunch of limited time events. So then you have to do these limited time events to unlock more characters. Because a lot of these limited time events, they give you Sarge to unlock new characters. So you want to make sure you do those. But you also can't...
Because it is a phone game, still.
Right.
But you also can't stop doing your daily missions, because that's the best way to get EXP. And once you get level up, then you can start doing the next main campaign mission. So, it's a crazy how much there is this game. But it always revolves around the battle system, which I think is pretty good. It's usually you bring 5 characters in, and there's usually about 10 to 15 enemy characters per map. But so far it hasn't gotten too boring. Because you have your classes. I mean, also you have your classes, and it has a triangle system, just like Fire Emblem.
But along with the characters and their classes, you also have an attached like soldier unit to each main character, and you can actually switch out what kind of soldier unit you have. Like, say you have like a flyer, you can attach like either archers or other flyers, and archers are strong against flyers. So there's a whole bunch of mixing and matching you can do with that. But that also lends to a little bit of the grind, because a lot of your training and grinding is leveling up and unlocking those extra soldier units and buffing them. So that definitely takes a while too, but I'm having fun doing it.
Look who I got, Mary.
Oh, you got the best healer in the game. Damn it.
Yeah, she's really good.
Yeah. Tiaris or something?
Yep, that.
Tiaris, huh?
Tiaris.
Tiaris.
Tiaris. Okay. Okay.
I actually pulled another SSR healer, Liana, that has a special ability yes. that lets you move again, which is pretty good. Another yeah. thing for this game is that there are multiplayer battles like co-op. There's also versus. There's an arena PvP mode with like asynchronous multiplayer, or you later on you unlock being Oops. Able to fight people at the same time. Oh, you got her. I haven't unlocked her yet. But yeah, just I'm having a lot of fun, and each character unit has such varied skills that all of them basically seem worthwhile, which is nice. And you actually need like a big roster of different character types, just because each map will throw out like different units, so you need to have good counters against them. And just finding the synergies with your characters and what skills go with what else. It's a lot of fun. It feels like a real game, like gameplay-wise. It's not turn off your brain. You can do auto battle if you want to, but if you're playing a difficult map, you will lose. I'm really, really enjoying it. I'm enjoying it so much. I actually hooked up my Sega Genesis and played a fan-translated version of Landgrisser 2. I've played a few scenarios in. In that game, in the original Sega Genesis games, they actually take a much longer time, like Wargroove, yes. because the soldiers are not connected to your main commander unit. You actually hire out different soldiers, and you position them wherever the hell you want, like on the battlefield, and you have to move them independently and have them take their own turns. So that makes the game much longer. But the cell phone game also has like these versions of the same exact missions from all of the old Landgrisser games in the game. And that's part of the reason I wanted to play the Sega Genesis version. I just wanted to see like how well it actually matched up to the phone game. And it's actually pretty damn close. Like yeah. The characters show up at the same times. Like sometimes in the middle of a battle, more enemy units will show up. That totally happened. The map layout was pretty much exactly the same. You could play it with the same characters if you have them unlocked. And it worked like pretty much... I was surprised at how faithful like this Chinese made phone game is to an old Japanese Sega Genesis RPG series. Like it was pretty cool. That's another thing. This past Thursday, there's a remake coming out for Landgrisser 1 and 2 on Switch and PS4. I downloaded a demo for the Switch version and played a bunch of it last night in Japanese. And I really hope that remake comes out over here, because now I'm super interested in Landgrisser and the characters and how it plays. I was playing a scenario 4 of Landgrisser 2 on the demo. And I totally beat it, and it was a lot of fun, even though it took me like an hour for that one scenario, because you have to move all of the enemy units around, or your like little soldier dudes. It's a fun way of playing. It definitely feels more like you're controlling an army than like Fire Emblem, where it's like, here's the party of these fancy men fighting around.
It's a good mix between Advanced Wars and Fire Emblem. But yeah,
totally.
And the thing is, though, is like I actually really like the story. Like, so they have their own original story for the game itself, and I actually really like the characters, like this game's original characters and the story they bring. Because the story is pretty much just them, like having to interact with the heroes of the past game, and I think they do a good job. And like, they also get very meta with it. So like
it's almost like the story for Fire Emblem Awakening, but good. I don't know.
Got him.
Kind of. It involves time travel yep. portals and stuff, so that's why I'm saying.
I don't want to get into this.
okay.
In the remake of the second Landgrisser game that came to the Super Famicom, They added a second scenario. Like they added like two like paths to the game where you can either be with the good guys or the bad guys. So in the mobile game, the fourth world of like the Time Rift area, which is you replaying the old games, it comments on how like the main character of the second game like joins with the bad guys and the game's original characters are like shocked like he joined the bad guys, and it's so very fun like interacting with the old games and the characters but also having the new characters I think are really good, and it's very cool and also having the good gameplay. Like one thing real quickly about the gameplay is one of the big system is the guard system where a character, usually a lancer, will have a skill where they will take physical damage for a one of their ally units that they're next to them. So one of the big components of the game is trying to guard your units but also try and bypass their guard, because there's some units who have abilities that bypass the guard. So it's just a very complicated aspect to the gameplay, which makes it keeps it fresh. And things like that, which has surprised me with how much I'm liking this game a whole lot. It's very good.
Yeah, like a lot of the abilities do much more mechanically interesting things than just like, hey, here's the fireball at the enemy, like a lot of the skills in Fire Emblem Heroes are. So I'm having a lot of fun with that. Also, there's the bond system, which is weird and dumb. In the Landgrisser games, like around 1996, same time as Fire Emblem, they added the whole like get to know your characters, if you know what I mean, like get to know them. So you can like in I think Landgrisser 3 on the Saturn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Landgrisser 3 on the Saturn, there are lady specific character endings. And the phone game kind of does that in a way where there are special like bond missions you can go on to learn more about characters. But a lot of the time it's just like something goofy, a goofy thing happens. You can't actually touch them up, but you give them gifts and
It
well, yeah, you can, and they'll comment on it sometimes, but like they'll blush if you give them like an apple and stuff like that. I don't know. It's
Okay.
another thing to grind on, basically, and it improves their soldier units through
Great.
that bonding stuff. But yeah, I don't know. I'm having a lot of fun with it. There's a lot to do, and it's not a brainless phone game. It's pretty nice. I'm surprised.
Yeah, and like the bonding system is like a thing where I didn't pay much attention to it. But then like a couple days ago, I dived deep into it, and there's missions specific for each character in the bond system. You get shards for these characters that you can use to upgrade their star.
Yeah, you power them up, and once the shard, you get enough shards, you up their stats and their abilities get better. And yeah, like it is very phone game in that it rewards you a lot for playing a lot. But when the game is actually fun, like Idolmaster, it makes it good. Like you don't mind grinding.
And there's technically a stamina system, but I literally never ran out of stamina. They give you like free stamina things like twice a day, and I use them. And I'm like 30 still, so like I'm never out of stamina. So.
I think I've spent like $5 on this game, but for how much I've played it, like I don't feel bad about it at all. Like I don't feel the need to really chase after certain characters because I'm not going crazy about the PvP. Apparently that's where it gets insane and they're like, "Oh, you have to have Leon, blah 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 blah," but I don't really give a shit about
Got
that.
to know the
So,
meta.
yeah, exactly. There is totally a meta for PvP, and I don't care to learn. I'm just having fun playing it. The only meta type thing I'm paying attention to so far is character affiliations. Like, once you get to level 35, you unlock these buffs that are for certain groups. And I'm paying attention to that because it seems important for the whole game, not just PvP. But
They're called like fusion abilities. Yeah, so like they're pretty much like a thing where it gives like 20% boost to all your stats for each character. And some of them even have like additional things. Like one like gives you like 30% attack when you get attacked and whatnot. For Leon, I think, or something like that. It's a very powerful ability that you get late in the game. And just like Mary said, I just got to that stage. So again, there's so much to this game.
I'm sorry I've been going on about it for so long, but it's so good, and I've been having so much fun, and I'm enjoying so much of it. I have totally played, like I played some of the PlayStation version of Langrisser 4, I played it on the Genesis, I played the Switch demo, like, I'm into the series now. Like, the only thing I had played before of it was Growlancer on the PS2, which is, like, a weird spin-off of Langrisser. It's made by the same developers, but it's more of an RTS than like a strategy RPG. So yeah, I'm having a lot of fun with it. And the character designs are so retro and neat. Like, nobody draws like this guy anymore, Satoshi Arushihara. Like, you saw that dude's pointy hair. There are some crazy ass like 90s shoulder pads.
How many belt buckles does he have?
Let me see. I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's like more than three.
Jesus. Yeah, and it's just a thing where, yeah, it's I don't know what I'm saying, but yeah, like Mary saying, I'm very excited for the whole series, because
like, look at this ninja dude I got. He looks like the dude from Samurai Showdown. It's cool.
Yeah, I remember
his name is Silver Wolf.
The remake. Yeah. Yeah, that's really good. The remake of 2 and 3 comes in English, because yeah, I'm very excited. I think I pretty much beat 2. I think I got very far in 2, but I would definitely play 2 again. I may go play 4 with the fan translation.
Yeah, they lessened the amount of enemy units, and actually the Switch remake of 1 and 2 seems like it's going more like Langrisser 4 and 3, where you don't have so many soldiers that you have to control. It feels a lot more manageable, and it doesn't take quite as long to finish a map. But yeah, it's fucking fun! I want to force everybody to play it, I'm sorry.
Alright, I was spending the last minute trying to come up with a good segue here, but who wants to talk about The Division 2? Because I know a bunch of us played it.
I didn't play much, but I did play it.
Because it seems like it's just more of The Division.
Kind of. Did you unlock, like, the endgame characters? Did you get to level 7? Yeah. Once you get to level 7, it will unlock 3 different specialist types for like that are level 30 and kitted out for the end game. They have like legendary weapons, signature weapons, and it plays so much differently, and the enemies are so different. They're kind of bullshit. Like, when you have drones flying at you that explode and you have to shoot them out of the air before you get fucked up, that kind of sucks. And I'm not sure if I really like the signature weapons compared to the signature skills, even though everybody just took the survival skill anyway in the first game. You don't get much ammo for the signature weapons. Like, cool, yeah, I have a crossbow that shoots explosive darts, but if I can only use it like 4 or 5 times in the whole mission, that kind of sucks. I can understand wanting to limit it, but it's, I don't know. And also, the mission that you unlock is basically, maybe I just suck, but it was impossible to do solo. Like, that is a multiplayer, like, you need friends to, like, finish it. But yeah, I had played a shit ton of that Division 2 private beta, and I even played some of the first game this weekend too.
How long is that private beta going on for? Until like probably tomorrow morning or tonight or something?
I think, yeah, tomorrow morning is when they're turning it off.
Because my character is at like halfway between 6 and 7, I think. So I might just go do some side missions and see what this end game shit is about.
Yeah, it's worth taking a look for sure.
Because I got a thing that, like a pop-up that says, welcome to endgame. But I'm not level 7.
Welcome
to endgame. Or at least I don't think I was. I wasn't really keeping track. I was just doing random side missions with a buddy.
I don't know. Maybe later on in the demo, they like, hey, we're going to unlock these level 30 characters for everybody. Just so people can see. But when you're on the main menu, just see if you have different character slots you can like navigate.
I think I did actually. Like now that I think about it, I loaded it up and I clicked continue real quick, and then like I was like, wait a second, was there somebody else standing on my title screen, like next to my guy? So I'll take a look.
That mission is very difficult. You get killed very quickly if you're out of cover or if they flank you. And I had a lot of fun. I'm not sure about the dark zone changes in the Division 2. Like it's a much smaller area. They have more areas now, but I don't know. I kind of miss the setting too. Like I understand it's supposed to be summer in DC, but I miss the snow. Like I feel the game looked better.
The dark zone like concept of the like that just worked with like New York in winter. It's just this barren fucking area that's just been completely like cordoned off. It's all dark, it's all it's all overcast and shit, and it just looks gloomy. And the dark zone that it fit. Because like once you come out of the dark zone, everything's a little bit brighter, sun's out, you know, but it's still winter in New York and still looks like shitty, but it's a little less gloomy. And it matched the mood. The setting matched the story behind it, I guess. Like the lore.
The theme.
Yeah.
The theme, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, when I was in there, I didn't play much of this game. I played like a little bit to get to the White House and then a little bit to get to that doctor lady. It's interesting. I could see getting this game for like just seeing the story going through it. And the Division 1 is extremely cheap on Uplay currently, on like a Lunar sale, like $7 cheap. So I might just get that just to play through the single player story to see how that is. Because the Division 2 kind of like sold me on like, hey, this looks fun.
They have a thing going on right now too in the Division 1 where you can complete objectives to unlock stuff in the sequel game.
That's
so
cool.
Okay.
If you're going to do it, I guess you should do it now.
Yeah. It looks fun as like a story progression game, the Division 2. It looks real nice as well. It's just that dark zone stuff that I played yesterday with you just seemed real fucking boring. I'm just like,
yeah,
we're just going to like zones to do shit. And like, so in the old game, like it was kind of like, I was kind of fearful for almost everyone because like you never knew when like a squad would just start shooting at you and whatnot.
Yeah.
But for like the entire time, or 99.9% of that time we were in the dark zone, everyone was just running around, just like chill and like emoting to other people. Like, just like, what up? Hey.
I revived somebody like in the dark zone. Somebody wasn't us.
The dark zone in the first game, shit, man, you had to like keep your eye on people. And like the size of the map also contributed to like the mood. Because it's like you look one down street, see nobody, and it goes way fucking far. And you see, go down another street, and there's nobody. And then you... like you see somebody coming up and you're like, oh shit, there's somebody coming up, and then
keep them in your sights. Like,
there's a lot of like, there's a lot of like, hey, just passing through. You get on voice comm, just passing through. Don't want any trouble. And then everybody just, they just, you know,
go their cross paths.
Yeah. Or they fucking want to fight. And then that happens.
Yeah. Like
that doesn't happen in this one. It's just kind of,
no, Well,
I'm not
think
sure if it was the beta.
That might be maybe. People might just not be taking it seriously.
But they also changed the way you go rogue now. Like, you have to press a button to go rogue instead of just shooting people, like in the early version of the first game. Like, that happened in the first game. They changed it to where you have to hold down T. I don't know if they just got complaints like, I didn't mean to go rogue and now I lost all my shit. Oh, no. But yeah, it feels like it loses something. And there are also a lot more ways to go rogue now in the Dark Zone in 2. One thing that's kind of cool is if you find a Dark Zone cache and you don't have a key, you can just hack it open. And when you do so, you will go rogue. And I think that's kind of a cool trade-off. But there are also just these weird terminals around everywhere. And if you hack them, you will be rogue. Like, I'm not sure. I forgot
that
to look up what exactly they do. Yeah.
So I hacked one and then it said 15% done. I'm not sure if you're meant to run to another one to like keep that percentage increasing so you get to 100%, or if like over the period of time in the Dark Zone you've hacked multiple ones of those and that equates to 100%. I didn't hack a second one to find out if it went to 30% or whatever. But yeah, I did notice that popped up saying like something 15% uncovered or some shit like that.
You still have to go ahead, sorry.
I was confused and I was like, ooh, an interactive thingy, I'll do this. And then it's like, you've gone rogue. I was like, what? What did I do? I don't know. It was.
So do you still have to put stuff on like a hook on helicopter and like call a helicopter in?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. That was another.
It took us like.
It's probably the.
It took us like.
Judging by like what you guys are saying about how people are handling the Dark Zone right now, it's probably not. Like, nobody's fighting at the helicopters. Everybody's just running up, putting their stuff on it, and just bailing.
Well, the one time I tried to load stuff, it was me and DJ. And since everything was like, nobody seems to be, like, turn an asshole. Like,
we
let's
saw
just,
the squad
let's just load
for
it
like
up.
20 minutes this whole time.
And of course, like, as soon as I load on my thing onto the line, they just fucking kill me right away. And I was like, well, shit.
Yeah. In the first one, the same with the tone of the Dark Zone. In the first one, there was a lot of like, if you could come up slow on a spot, like you saw a flare go off and be like, hey, can we put some, you have to get on voice comms, like, hey, we're friendly. Can we, do you have any spots left on this? Can we drop some stuff off? And they'll be like, yeah, sure. Or whatever. And then they fire the flare off and everybody goes and finds defensive positions.
Yeah.
And like everybody like taking it pretty seriously, even during like the beta. And I fucking loved that. Like, I thought that was cool as hell.
I remember that as well. Yeah. That's like why I was like, In the first game, like, the dead Dark Zone was scary and stuff. Like, you had to
take
defensive positions when you did that.
Maybe part of that is that sometimes you will let down your guard, like I did, and be like, oh, I bet they're totally fine. Like,
and then they'll double cross
cool.
you, and you got to keep an eye on them. That's part of it. Yeah, that it's. I really loved that about the first one. And then, oops, everything's stored client-side, and people can cheat with no repercussions. And that kind of ruined for this one. They implemented an anti-cheat for this one. I saw the logo.
Protection.
But for the first one, fuck, man. That was that was a really cool part of the game that was pretty much just kind of like written off when people figured out they could cheat.
So is there still client-side, server-side? Is there still cheating ability in this game pretty easy?
I think the way their anti-cheat works is it monitors the process, and if you fuck with any of the memory, and if it changes outside the way it's supposed to work, or it detects you fucking with the memory with something, say like Cheat Engine, then it'll be like, hey, what the fuck are you doing?
And it kicks you out.
And your shit
basically
gets banned. Yeah.
Yeah. Dead by Daylight uses the same cheat protection, and I actually got kicked out of a match the other day because I guess my files weren't up to date. Like, I had an update, I had to check the files again. And so having something like that is very nice. Like, I didn't encounter a lot of cheating in the first game, but I didn't do a shit ton of like Dark Zone stuff anyway. I mainly just played through the campaign and the DLC stuff. But I'm glad it's there. I'm glad they learned, like, hey, we need to not let this happen in this game.
Yeah, I would happily get this game when it's like heavily reduced to see that like single player stuff. I'm really intrigued to like, I didn't have time sadly, but I wanted to like roam around the Washington Mall, I think it's called, see if they
you
have
can't.
Like museums the mall, there. You can't?
No, like that is the one thing I wanted to do in the game, and yeah, the mall is outside of the beta zone, so you can get to like the very edge of it, and I was like, oh, I recognize this, I recognize these little wooden green gazebo thingies, but it won't like let you go in there for
I
real.
Wanted to see how detailed it was of like if it had museums that
yes
should be
like
there,
like the E3 had, like, demo
or the like the Korean War monument, like is that in the game, the MLK monument, is that there, like I wanted to see if that shit
I
there.
Believe the MLK,
I know all of that stuff,
I'm pretty sure MLK is there because it's like one of the side, it's one of the side missions I believe. It's like you go to that.
Like, yeah, I'm not a DC guy, so I don't know, like, oh, this street and that street. Like, I can't figure that out. Like, compared to, I've been to New York City a few times to know some streets. So, like, I go, oh, this is where the New York Library is. Or, oh, I've seen this church. Or, oh, I've, there's a New York University. I've seen this location.
Right, right.
I've hung out at that park. I, nothing like that in DC stands out except for the mall.
Yeah, I think that's kind of why it isn't in the beta, is so, like, if you want to see the mall, you got to buy the game. So. Mm-hmm.
Which cat's going to win?
Yeah, probably Oscar. I don't know. Carl is playing a defensive game. But, but yeah, I'm probably going to buy the game when it releases because I'm not super into Anthem. I might play it. Like, that's the other big loot shooter coming out. I might get that EA Origin Access subscription thing for a little bit just to play it. But this game comes out around my birthday, and I really like the first game. I really like the setting. Just, I want to see them all. I want to shoot around in a Smithsonian. Like, one thing that kind of sucks is that the graphical fidelity definitely isn't up to, like, the standards of the E3 trailer that they showed at Microsoft's stage show. Like, just the lushness of the vegetation, like, the lighting in general. Like, I feel like a lot of the lighting during the day, like, on objects, it looks a little washed out. Like, it doesn't seem like the lighting is working on individual objects as well as in the first game, and there is no neutral lighting option anymore, which made the game like way darker in dark spaces. Like, it used only light sources that were in the game. Like, there wasn't any artificial ambient light. So I don't know. I know I'm being picky. Like, once I turned off the built-in sharpening on my game, like, it obviously looked a lot better, but I still want it to look a little bit fancier. Whatever.
Yeah, for me personally, I probably will wait. Unless the reviews are very good, I'll probably will wait also, because, I mean, are planning on just getting the EA Access Premium for like a month or so and just playing Anthem.
We'll probably do that too, because it does come out like here a month before. So,
and I'll actually cancel that one after it's done.
Yeah.
There's a deal where I can get the normal EA access for like £1. So I might get that and just play Anthem for 10 hours. Probably get enough of Anthem for that and then wait for it to get heavily reduced, because at this point in time, I'm now probably not going to pay £15 for a month trial of the game.
Sure.
And I also don't want to pay full price for that game now.
Yeah.
Until they fix some of the, like, speed and I get good reviews on how the end game and stuff is. I read one like pre-release review of like, we played a lot more of Anthem than the beta or the demo, and like, if you're expecting much more from Anthem, you might have some issues.
Oh, like, no.
Like, there's some more, but like, there's not too much more. Granted, that person didn't play the whole game. There might be a lot of cool end game, like, storyline missions and big bosses that they obviously wouldn't have showed that person. But seems like the nuts and bolts of that game is what you probably saw in the demo.
Yeah, I saw that there was a list of things that are going to be updated from the latest demo to live. And they addressed a bunch of the control stuff for the PC. Like, they're like, hey, we fixed a bug that was causing an effect that was very similar to negative mouse acceleration. We fixed that. So we'll have raw mouse input. We're tweaking the flying a little bit more for mouse. And there's some other stuff too. I can't remember. There were a couple other things. So I was like, hey, cool. They kind of do actually give a shit about the PC version. And there's some other things that, so they're at least changing. I mean, you can't really change much like story shit or any of that, like major gameplay things. But I'm sure there's probably a ton of little things from the demo that they're going to be able to fix, even though they called it a beta, or they called it a demo rather than a beta.
Yeah.
So, well, it does come out like really soon.
Yeah.
But yeah, I actually gave up on using regular mouse and keyboard controls on Anthem just because it was pissing me off. So I ended up using a controller and it was fine. Yeah, but
I was using controller.
Yeah, on the latest demo, they made the mouse reticle like auto center, like kind of slowly. And then they added a circle in the middle that's like a dotted line, so that gives you this like your center point on your screen. That made flying a lot easier with the mouse. So it's like, hey, here's your center, and then if you move the mouse out, if you let move it out and then let go, it'll start slowly going back. So that helped a bit, I found, from the demo at least.
I'm sure it's gonna be like Destiny 1 where it comes out and there's not going to be a lot of content in the game. So, yeah, I think it's probably a good idea to maybe not jump on board day one. It's probably a good game to jump on maybe a year later.
The story sounds cool. The little bit of the story that I got to play, it sounds looks really cool. So,
it looks nice just
in general. I found a cool side quest in the Anthem demo. Did you guys talk to the bartender and help him out at all?
I didn't follow up on that. Yeah.
Was there a follow-up bit?
I don't believe so. It seemed like the follow-up stuff would be later on in the game. Like, that would be like a chunking side quest. But I just fucking loved his voice acting. He sounded like Kenneth on 30 Rock or like something McBrayer is the actor's name, but yeah, just the most unique voice acting. Like, I haven't heard a dude with that style of like Georgia accent in a game before, and that was really cool. It actually made me think like, oh, well, maybe there actually will be some BioWare style story stuff in this game after all.
And in the cutscenes, the characters aren't like fucking expressionless robots when they're talking.
Robots, yeah.
And that's refreshing to see. Like, they emote with their face and like use their eyebrows and like they shit like that. Yeah.
So yeah. Yep. There are $60 games that I'm actually looking forward to now. And even though The Division 2 doesn't seem that much different, I still want to play some more of it.
Sweet. Do you want to talk about your last thing here real quick? We're kind of on a time crunch for DJ. We got about an hour.
I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. I think we'll be able to knock this stuff out at a reasonable pace.
Okay.
Yeah, we're fine still.
I got this game like about 3 weeks ago when it first entered early access, I think at the beginning of the month, Demon's Tilt. It is a pinball game made by like four dudes. Oh my God, it is one of my favorite games this year already, even though it's still in early access. Just a cool, demonically themed pinball table, like virtual pinball table. There's no real world equivalent, but they take advantage of that fact by adding weird, like, bullet hell elements. Like, there'll be these little enemy monsters that show up on the lower third table that you have to knock around with your ball, and they'll shoot out, like, all these crazy pink bullets, and if you collect the pink bullets, you get more points. There are just so many different mission elements that are present in real pinball tables that they have jazzed up. There's even some pachinko elements on this table too. Like, there's a little cup that you have to get the ball in to get points, and it'll actually shoot the ball up from the cup into another playfield area. And it's just nice and fast paced. It also has a combo system where you get more points the faster you hit stuff. So it doesn't reward the style of play that is common in a lot of real serious pinball tournament stuff, where you cradle the ball and you take specific shots taking a long time, which is good because that's how I like to play pinball, kind of reckless and fast. I would recommend anybody that's interested in, like, pinball period to just watch a video of this game being played, because it's a lot of fun. I did have an issue with it the first day, where the game was not set up to run higher than 60 frames per second. So when I was playing it, the ball was super heavy and fast, and I didn't know that anything was wrong. So I was like, this game's really fucking hard. but then later on, in a pinball Discord I'm in, they're like, it's kind of fucked up. You need to lock your monitor to 60. Otherwise, it's impossible. Yeah, before I had done that, I had actually gotten on the leaderboards, so I was surprised. It was like taking off the weighted armor in Dragon Ball Z or something. Like, I had been training under super conditions, and then once I set it back up to work properly, it was fine. They've since updated the game to where that isn't a problem anymore. So,
okay. Well, that's good.
At least they fixed it. But I'm having a lot of fun with it. There's also an extra mode in it called Hardcore, where you only get one ball. And also the flippers are shorter and the outlanes are wider. So it's a lot more difficult. I actually wrote down where I am on the leaderboards, because that's what's fun with this game, like competing for high score.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm number 337 out of 1,122 players on the regular mode. And in hardcore mode, right now, I'm number 50 out of 466 players. Like, when I first started up the game, though, I was like in 12th place for a long time in hardcore. And I actually scored better than the fanciest, like, the most famous pinball Twitch player, Double Danger on Deadflip. So I felt pretty cool for that. I like to credit it to my playing the game while it was fucked up and way too fast and hard to that. I already said, like, I'd love this game a ton, but right now it is definitely going to be on my top 10 games of the year for 2019 already, even though it's still early access. It's just, the music is so good too. It's FM synth style music, like the Sega Genesis. They hired one specific composer. And I actually heard a lot of his stuff on SoundCloud first, just by searching for FM synth.
Sure.
It's so good. It's like this game was made specifically for me, with just like the theming, the fast gameplay, the good music. It's just really, really, really good. And it also wasn't expensive. So yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay.
This looks good.
It's really, really, really good. It's super fun.
Are they, like, working on for early access wise, what have they got left before release?
I'm not really sure. Like, the first time the game was out, they had some things that were broken, like some camera issues, and they had this scoring thing that was supposed to show score per ball, but that was actually broken, and now that's working. I'm not sure like what their roadmap is for adding stuff into the game exactly, but it feels like basically a finished game to me. Like, I don't know if they're just trying to fix bugs or something and that's why it's early access.
Besides like maybe slow down, or like, granted it's like a virtual pinball table, I assume there's lots of like shit with ball physics that might go wrong that they need to address that they might be fixing other than that.
Yeah, I haven't really noticed any errors. Like, there are a few sections where it will magnetize to certain like playfield features, but that's that's very common in all pinball games, so I don't really mind it. I want to know what exactly their plans are for the game. Like, the games that this is kind of an homage to, like Alien Crush and Devil Crash and stuff. Like, those have bonus areas that you can get to, like separate play fields. That is not in this game. And as far as I know, they're not adding it. But I don't know. There are just so many details. Like, they actually display the Plumb Bob in the game, which is like the thing that activates tilt when you shake a machine, and it'll it's like in the bottom right corner, and it's a little devil skull thing, and it'll show it shaking around when you tilt. There are like various gambling elements on the table too. Like, there's dice you can roll by shaking the table a little bit. There's like a card face thing. I don't know what it's called technically. Like, if you get like poker type matches, it'll give you a bonus through that as well. There's just a lot to this game, and even though it's only one table, I'm enjoying it a lot, and it's not boring in any way. I need to practice on it some more, because I want to be I used to be number 12, damn it. I'm still in the, I'm on the first page of all the hardcore players still, but I'm about to get bumped off, so yeah.
How long does one game take? Because I'm watching this person on a 1,248,000,000 run, and he's this video is 45 minutes long.
It can definitely take a while. Like, the longer you play, the more points you get, but that's a problem kind of with all pinball tables. The highest scores right now are 2 billion, in the 2 billion range. My highest score is 60 million, so I have a ways to go. One thing that will definitely get you scores, there are these ultra jackpots that'll show up once you do some of these missions, and the missions are displayed to like the right of your screen, very similarly to the Senran Kagura Peach Ball game.
Hey.
Yeah, I thought it was cool that something took from that. But yeah, pinball. Okay, I talked enough about it. I'm sorry.
No worries.
Did you buy that Peach Ball thing, or are you waiting for an English?
I'm hoping it'll come out in English. If they don't announce something soon, I'm just going to buy a copy off of eBay. Cause fuck.
Is it a physical only? Can you not get a digital Japanese store?
You can, but I'd rather just pay for a used physical copy and get it cheaper.
True. Yeah, that's true.
I want to quickly say, this is the first time I've been on one since me and DJs have been playing Far Cry. I just want to say, Far Cry 5 is a bad game. That's all.
Far Cry games are like, you play those co-op and you make your own fun.
Even 4 and 3 even are with good. That. Even with that, Far Cry 5 is not fun co-op. I don't know. The story is way too intrusive.
They must have fixed all the jank. from when it first
a
came out.
A lot of the jank is gone.
Ah, oh, it's a bummer because that was part of the
jank,
fun.
But yeah, there's still some jank, but a lot of it is like issues with loading and stuff. We're not having cars flipping out or anything, which is not fun. Yeah, five.
You die way too easily in combat. It's
yeah.
Don't get shot. Shoot the other guys first.
I'm not that good.
What I don't like is I think I've got a sniper rifle, which is too powerful, because I figured out something, Popcans, why I've been alerting people is because I've been shooting at a downward trajectory most times, and I shoot a guy and the bullet goes through them and hits something metal behind him, and people near that hear the metal hit and then they get alerted. It's just like, come on.
Yeah. It's very
disappointing. Yeah.
But
it's annoying.
I'm hopefully the standalone DLC that's coming in like a week is good. The New Dawn.
New Dawn. Yeah, I saw on like CD Keys it's like £20, which is like $30. It's definitely not a full price game.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they expect from that game, but it seems like they're marketing it as like a $40 game.
Wait, that's all. Yeah.
Also, it's out in like a week, which is or something, which is crazy.
Oh,
it's a crazy turnaround. Makes me wonder if they've like done enough work to re-realize that world in what they're trying to go for, or if like the trailer that we got at E3 was like, "Hey, here's the Game Awards was it? Yeah, that Game Awards.
Yeah.
It's like we've got these two new looking guns and like the map's slightly different, but other than that it's all the exact same shit." I wouldn't be surprised if that it turns out to be that.
You know what's not the exact same shit is a game called When Ski Lifts Go Wrong. This is something that I bought just kind of on a whim. I kind of like a lot of like the old like bridge building games, and this is a cool twist on that. You're basically building parts of a ski lift, and then you've got to get people on the lift like over obstacles and stuff. And then there's another mode where it's like you got to build a jump to make this dude that you can control like clear it and go hit these two metals and then land correctly, and then you can go to the next level. And that's pretty awesome. And the tone of the game is pretty funny because it's like when somebody falls off, it like leaves like a blood mark on the ground, and even when you restart, that blood mark is still there. So, and like the tutorial is pretty funny. It's like, oh, you killed a guest. That's not good. And like the guy that is walking you through the tutorial, it's basically just like his default state is he's just like oops, and he's got like a hard hat on. Game doesn't take itself too seriously, and been having a lot of fun with that so far. Haven't played much of it. The rest of my time has been spent getting my workshop stream stuff set up, which I did some on Friday and did a really late stream because I was like, fuck it, I did all this work, I'm just gonna fire one up. And just working on projects, modding stuff. Kind of have a setup that I sort of like. Still have some more things to do with that. Doing stuff like I added a USB Type-C port to this Model M keyboard. Like, that kind of shit.
Nice.
And the lights are orange now on this.
Yeah.
So just kind of fun stuff like that. And I got a camera that like points over so you can see what I'm working on and shit like that. It's pretty cool. Check me out,
twitch.tv/internetpizza.
That's me. And played more VR shooters. I won't talk about those, but I will talk about the thing that I got. I bought the magnet upgrade for this thing.
When you say that, did you buy the whole thing, or is it like little attachment-y things,
like,
extras?
The base is like this, and like this, and this, and like parts of this. And what I bought is, gotta move my mic here so you can actually hear me. What I bought is like this piece that has a magnet on it, and these pieces that hook onto the controllers. So it's just
auto slots. Okay, that's cool.
And then you you adjust it in game to where you want it, and then you tighten everything down, and then you just kind of get used to where the front one is, and just snaps in, and you're good to go. Mm-hmm. So you're not trying to pull a controller out of a cup and then do something and then try to put it back into the cup.
Ah, okay.
And you can still use the wrist straps, which is nice. So
That thing, is the magnet slot sturdy as hell, or is there like...
Oh, yeah.
Can you foresee some wiggle room at some point, or is like that going to be strong for forever until you like accidentally snap it or some shit?
It's sturdy enough. Like it's, yeah. And both of them that's come cool. off, so.
Yeah, that's cool.
And this thing is really OP once you get used to it.
So have you seen like an actual improvement with said magnet attachments?
Only in one game that I really, like I sat there for like 10 minutes just kind of like learning the motion of and like figuring out like the muscle memory for where the front cup is so I could snap that back on real quick. And played a couple games of War Dust with that, and I think my best game was I went 34-4. And that was just on infantry. Like, I wasn't in, like, vehicles or anything. Just running around shooting people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot. So, and I was just able to, like, reload. Like, it's a traditional video game. Like, you know how fast you reload in those games? Like, I was, like, going... I was going about that fast. And that's fucking broken in VR. Because other people are like, Yeah. But no, I'm just like, mag out, mag in, pull it, click, done.
That's cool.
And that thing's pretty awesome. But still kind of getting used to it. Like, it's bit me a couple times where it's like I missed the front cup and I'm like, fuck, where is it? And I can't see because I got this fucking thing on my head. Right.
Yeah, I completely forgot that you have to, like, use the motion of the controller to pick up something on your waist.
Mm-hmm.
And that probably does hinder those mag tube things, because now I understand why the magnet thing is a whole lot better. I assumed in those games that they would just be stuck on that mag tube forever.
No.
Yeah, I totally forgot the mechanics of like reloading and grabbing shit.
Yep.
Interesting.
And like in Onward, it's even you don't just pull the magazine out. You have to hit a button on the controller, which makes the magazine fall out.
Right.
And then once you put a new one in, you can either, like on an M4, you can either pull the charging handle, or I think you can hit one of the other buttons and it releases the thing and you're ready to fire. So there's more steps to it, like an actual firearm. So. I always thought that was cool that you have to manually reloading in those games is like part of the immersion, I guess.
Yeah, naturally.
So. That's pretty much all I played. Work's been kind of fucking ridiculous and cutting into my free time. But I think I made the most of it. My two workshop streams have been successful, like way more than any of my game stuff. So I think I made the right choice in kind of shifting to that. Got my first $10 donation, just like a straight up donation.
Oh, wow.
Nice. Yay.
Got to hear I was surprised when my donation music came out because I said it a long time ago and I forgot what it was. So I'm a real streamer now. Check me out. twitch.tv/internetpizza. If you want to watch just me bullshitting and working on electronics and 3D printing and shit like that. Use your Twitch Prime sub. All subs, bits, and donations go toward like funding new projects and getting some better tools. Like I need a new power drill because the chuck, the part that the bit goes into, is not sitting perfectly on the motor, so it wobbles a little bit at the bit end. And at that point, you're better off just buying a whole new drill. So, but yeah, that's what I've been up to. I think it is time we should go to some news. We got some stuff here.
You know, when they give us the song.
No, sorry. Where should we start? Which one do you guys want to pick?
Yeah, I can talk about this one thing really fast because there's not much to it.
Sure.
Platinum Games is no longer a developer on Granblue Fantasy Relink, which was a Granblue Fantasy like console action RPG. It looks very fancy. They've had videos come out for it. It is now being fully developed by Cygames. So that's kind of weird. Like, Platinum doesn't necessarily have like the best track record when it comes to making licensed stuff, but they at least finished and brought out everything. So that's right. Kind of weird. I wonder how much of their work is actually still going to be in the final game, because those videos were very impressive, but. Yeah, that's just kind of weird. Like, that also brought a little bit of prestige to like this phone game spinoff that it was being made by Platinum. So that's weird. That's all I wanted to say about that. Just it's weird.
So layoffs at Activision Blizzard, huh?
It makes sense, like, after they got rid of Heroes of the Storm, esports stuff, like, yeah, they're obviously making cuts everywhere. And at least they didn't do it around Christmas time. They waited until February.
I'll give them that, sure. So it sucks to lay off people, but you gotta do what you gotta do, and they at least didn't do it during the holidays, so I'll give them that. Is that pretty much all we have to say? It's like, that sucks.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like that's expected now. Like, Activision is trying to take more control over Blizzard. I also read in that article that since Bungie left, they have all of these Destiny support people at Activision that are no longer doing anything. So they might be gone soon as well. So, yeah.
I enjoyed the hot like journalism fights on Twitter. Like Jason Swire fighting with somebody from Variety about it.
Oh, really?
Twitter beef.
Brian Crescente, who was a name. Yeah, it was intriguing the stance that Crescente was landing on.
Didn't he used to work at Kotaku as well?
I don't know.
I think he did. I think he was formerly
the name editor, sounds familiar, yeah.
Yeah, the name sounds familiar. I just can't remember where it was, where I know it from.
So what was he saying about Activision Blizzard?
You can go pop.
Okay, yeah, Crescente was saying how like it was saying like how there's layoffs what does that have to do with the executive, how much executives being paid, and Jason Swire is like, look how much they're being paid, why does it not like matter, like when executives are being paid in millions and people don't know if they're going to get laid off or not, stuff like that.
It's all referencing back to the like why are you laying off people or like cutting people and claiming it's due to budgets and a lack of money in the company when people are obtaining massive bonuses, even though the bonus might not theoretically be massive compared to their pay scale, but the bonus could hold at least like 50 of said people for a year or so. So that's the argument, and Crescente is just trying to say that like bonuses shouldn't matter, and there's no need to bring unionization into this whole scenario and stuff like that. Yeah,
of course he's saying
that's a big topic of 2019. That's going to be of 2019. Yeah, I guess it makes sense of like what you mentioned, the targeted staff. If it is a lot of Destiny 2 support staff, then I don't quite know where you can pivot those people right now, other than you might just have to lay them off. Maybe when the new Diablo comes out, then they can support it, but yeah.
Yeah, like, I can kind of understand a little bit of cuts, but I'm not sure exactly where the cuts are coming from because they haven't happened yet. Like, it may be that they are cutting some of those same support staff from Blizzard instead because maybe they are being compensated better than like the Destiny 2 people were, and then they will take over their role. I'm not really sure what's going to happen, but it definitely is some money micromanaging bullshit so the CEOs yeah. can make more money. Like, I don't yeah. I'm not like, that's what CEOs do basically, is what will be good for the shareholders, what will make our numbers look right. better. So
is this good yeah. for the company?
Well, sometimes that's not necessarily, sometimes that goes along with the numbers, but sometimes, I don't know. I'm glad I'm not running Activision Blizzard right now because, yeah, it looks hard, and especially with Bungie leaving and no games coming out in Blizzard anytime soon, I can understand why they would be.
Yeah, it's a shame. We'll see where their stance is, like, around E3 time, if they have shit.
Yeah, if they have anything.
Or BlizzCon, I guess.
Yeah.
While we're talking about Activision still, sounds like they're issuing refunds for Guitar Hero Live in the US because people are thinking that they lost all the licensing rights to a bunch of the music, or no, that they're shutting down. Well, they're shutting down the Guitar Hero TV servers, which is like where all the customs or all the songs come from, right?
Yeah, they had like the rotating streams of like, here's like our live stuff, the whole like name of the game. So I guess like just to head off any like, this is false advertising, blah, 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 or I'm going to sue you. You can get a full refund for the purchase price of your game, which is pretty crazy. I've never yeah. really seen that for a game yeah. before. I think so far it's only the US, but maybe they'll expand it to other places. I don't know.
Maybe they were thinking that they're going to get a hit with the class action lawsuit.
Yeah.
That's literally the only reason why you would think they would do this, because they figured they were going to have to do it anyway, so might as well do it now. And they
yeah.
do it now when they might be able to have to pay less.
Right.
And they got ahead of it saying something like, people who bought it from 2017 to 2019. So it avoids a lot of the most of the purchases that came out from like me when I bought it roughly when it was released and stuff at full price. Shit, I don't think even I got it at full price almost on released time. So yeah. So not only do they like avoid probably about half of the people who bought it, but also the refund looks like it's going to be based on how much people paid for it. And cool. that game's been selling for like $15 so, with controller, so you might not get much of a refund. But hey, whatever, you get your money's worth and you can still play the 40 hot tracks that they have in that game still.
Oh boy. So, on the topic of refunds, this Metro Exodus thing is kind of out of hand, right? Like people, so Metro Exodus was on Steam and a bunch of people pre-ordered it on Steam, and then Epic did their thing that they've been doing lately where they're just like kind of just taking people off of their, I'm guessing they're paying off whatever like fee they would, the developer would have to pay Valve for jumping ship or some shit like that. And that's how they're doing this, if there is one. But they did that, and now people are not fucking happy about that shit. And I'm guessing a lot of people are refunding that. And then it got review bombed, and then one of the developers or something posted on a forum, and it was like, the gist of his post was, "Hey, if you guys are gonna boycott this shit, we're not gonna make the next one for PC." or something. Yeah, it's like, okay, yeah, whatever, dude. And then they came out, like, I mean, there's an official statement saying, no, regardless of how this comes out, it's the next one's going to be focused on PC, don't worry.
It kind of makes sense in that regard of, like, if people look at the direct numbers and people do boycotts this thing and sales on PC is like 10% of what it will be on PS4 and stuff, higher ups will just look at those numbers and go, oh, I guess we need to focus on consoles more. Let's, if we do make another Metro game or let's, from a game from this developer, let's focus on the PS5 and Xbox 2X. So yeah, it can hurt when someone like review bombs said game or something like that. That being said, like, yeah, it's a sucky situation, but if they get more money out of it, it might be fine on them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they aren't like canceling the Steam pre-orders or anything. Anyone,
they're just not, they're not accepting them anymore.
Yeah,
like, you'll still get your Steam copy if you pre-order a Steam copy.
Yeah, if you pre-ordered it before, you'll still get it. It's not like you're not getting it. And like, say what you want about launches and clients, but the minute Apex launched, I didn't see too many people bitching about Origin, even though we had a lot of discussions way before about Origin and having too many new clients and stuff, but one's really annoyed.
Because Origin, it's not like even like a full install anymore. It's like a thin client, at least as far as I can tell. And it's like, I have to go find the executable. Like, it doesn't make a program files entry when I need to turn it on. Yep. I have to go find the executable and run it to get Origin to work.
I actually bothered to make a shortcut for like the first time in like 20 years on my computer. Because it's just totally got it a pain on my in the ass.
Taskbar thingy at the bottom. I've got Uplay, I've got Origin, I've got Battle.net, and I've got Steam and Discord all down there, ready to click and go. It's just easy that way. But yeah, I can see why people get it. The biggest issue with clients is they need to group talk about how to transfer friends lists over. And what they did in Apex with, like, when you go into the socials area, you can actually bring in your friends list from Steam just straight up.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is really awesome.
You have to link your Steam account, of course, I'm guessing.
Yes. Yeah. But it's the best way you're probably ever going to get. And that's what most clients should really try and do from now on, I think. Because, yeah, Steam is going to be where all your friends are. It's just the nature of the game.
Yeah,
I mean, it's still cool that Metro is now only $50 on the Epic Game Store. So, and if games being on the Epic Game Store allows games to be a little bit less, that's always cool. Though people usually don't buy on Steam nowadays anyways. They go through like Humble Bundle or like
CD Keys.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right. Apparently GameStop is changing its pre-order refund policy. I don't know what it was before. Somebody else is going to have to explain this one to me. Like, why is this big?
Did Thaldin put this on before? Because I didn't put this on.
I'm guessing he did. Yeah, I don't know. There wasn't a link, yeah. So I just dug one up real fast.
Cool. It's well, Thaldin, we'll bring it home here. That's it for news. This has been episode 155 of ROMs Over Baghdad, and we will see you next week.